But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with the report Matt Gaetz did not want you to see. Move on to how old is too old to govern? And follow all of that up with the palace intrigue on Trump's HB1 immigrant visa problem and colonizer shopping spree. Let's begin, shall we? This year for Christmas, the House Ethics Committee decided to release their very highly anticipated report on Matt Gaetz to the public. And boy, it did not disappoint.
The House Ethics Committee has just released its report on Matt Gaetz.
It's a 37-page report, and the committee claims that there is, quote, substantial evidence that Gaetz violated House rules.
The committee says it found evidence that Gaetz paid a 17-year-old girl for sex and violated multiple Florida state laws. The panel also found evidence he used cocaine and ecstasy on multiple occasions while serving as a member of Congress.
Through documented evidence, but also interviews with more than half a dozen witnesses, including the victim, the girl or the woman who was 17 years old heading into her senior year of high school at the time, she told the committee with testimony that she had sex with Matt Gaetz, then a sitting member of Congress, twice during a party in July of 2017, including at least once in the presence of other party attendees. She recalled receiving $400 in cash from Matt Gaetz, which she understood to be payment for sex.
Well, well, well. So this was what the tiniest Johnson to ever be Speaker of the House desperately did not want the American people to find out about the plastically enhanced 12-head from Florida, Matt Gaetz. The now former congressman from the most flaccid state in the union and once picked to be U.S. Attorney General by the Fanta fascist tried desperately to stop this report from being released. And that's not even the funniest part of the story. See, Matthew Lewis Gaetz II is a lawyer, obtaining his Juris degree from William & Mary Law School in Virginia, bringing down the prestigious rep of the school that was founded in 1779 with a court filing that even Harold could have written with his purple crayon and still would have made more sense. There's so many errors in Butthead's pathetic attempt at a restraining order. The court kicked the paperwork back to the former tweaker of the house with a shit ton of red ink pointing out his mistakes.
It's definitely a no for me, dog.
Needless to say, the House Ethics Committee released the report while the king of Botox was trying to figure out how to be a lawyer, and now we all know the huge bullet we dodged with Pedo Matt out as U.S. Attorney General. Big win for America, but big loss for OAN, who's hired the Florida man to host a show on their network. Because when it comes out, you've got more in common with Cocaine Don Jr. than anyone realized. They give you a primetime slot on right-wing television. Meanwhile, the one-eyed Republican congressman from Texas, where the complaints are bigger, Mr. Dan Crenshaw, is upset at the 40% pay raise that Congress tried to sneak into the most recent spending bill, which was removed before it was passed. That and how much people don't like that Congress's favorite pastime seems to be insider trading.
This is one of those stupid things that I've been dragged through the mud on. You know how much fucking money I've ever had in the stock market? About $20,000. So sure, yeah, why not? Don't let us trade stocks. How about just, we'll just keep whipping ourselves. How about we don't make any money either? How about like just cut our paychecks? We haven't gotten a pay raise since 2008. This is a great idea. Let's make Congress a place where only the millionaires can actually afford to do the job. This is a wonderful idea. What do the people want? Well, they want an easy button. All my problems will be solved if there's no stock trading. All my problems will be solved if there's term limits. Yeah. But if you think about any of these things for 5 whole minutes, you might quickly come to a different conclusion.
No, No, 20 seconds is not enough time to convince the average person who is averaging $80,000 a year and cannot afford to exist that congressional politicians need to get paid more, especially when the average net worth of any given member of Congress starts at $1 million. And as for Danny Boy, his net worth is $8 million. Thanks to insider trading, which he lied about when he said that he's only got $20,000 in the market. First off, that $20,000 is more than his constituents have, who, unlike Cyclops Crenshaw, don't know what disposable income is because we've never had it. Because we're broke as fuck. And as far as having $20,000 in the stock market, the lie detector determined that that statement is kind of truthy.
You sit on a throne of lies.
Because while it's true Dan has pulled back from trading in 2024, he made a fuck ton of cash totaling millions between 2019 and last year, thanks to his inside knowledge of stock trading. But hey, anyone who's sitting on $8 million definitely deserves a pay raise for being America's most unproductive member of Congress. And that's saying a lot because Tortoise McConnell is still serving on Capitol Hill. But Crenshaw is known for introducing bills that go abso-fucking-lutely nowhere, which seems like a waste of the $174,000 in taxpayer funds he's getting, and an insult that he's whining about getting paid so little. And while we're on the subject of wasting taxpayer dollars on politicians who don't do a fucking thing,
retiring U.S. Representative from Texas, Kate Granger, is reportedly living in an assisted living facility, facing dementia issues, according to the Dallas Morning News.
The family of a retiring U.S. Congresswoman confirms she has been dealing with dementia issues after her months-long absence from D.C. raised concerns among her colleagues in Congress.
The 81-year-old is the longest-serving U.S. representative, and Granger hasn't voted on the House floor since July.
Another member of the Texas delegation, Representative Tony Gonzalez, says Ms. Granger's absence and health issues were not widely known to her colleagues.
I wasn't aware. I think there's no doubt a lot of us knew that she was gaining in age, like a lot of members do. And sadly, you know, some of these members wait until it's too long, things have gone too far. Congress should do its job. And if you can't do your job, maybe you shouldn't be there.
Well, the guy's got a point, doesn't he? With Flash Freeze McConnell turning into a mannequin every time he's speaking to the press nowadays, not to mention hip replacement Pelosi, the U.S. Congress is looking more like Shady Pines with every passing year. And not for nothing, but Dementia K from Texas has been receiving her congressional paychecks every month, including all the time she spent drooling on herself in a not-dementia care facility. And this part cracks me up because Kay's family said she is dealing with an age-related mental illness, which is just a very long way of saying dementia. But hey, no one from Texas has ever been accused of owning a thesaurus or the mental capacity to understand that anyone's grandparents shouldn't be in any governmental or oversight position, whether it's the United States Congress or any rando HOA in Fort Worth, Texas, especially when the Texas Fried Crone is taking a paycheck during her stay at the Cuckoo's Nest that no one knows that she's in. Personally, I think Kay owes the taxpaying people of America every last cent of the $87,000 she's taken in congressional pay during the last 6 months. But hey, I don't live in Texas, and I would not have voted for an old hag to remain in office when she's clearly past her expiration date as of 16 years ago. Meanwhile, in buyer's remorse news,
New York City Fire Department unions are calling for the restoration of funding to the James Zadroga 9/11 Health and Compensation Act after it was left out of Congress's funding on Friday. The act guarantees medical treatment for first responders, firefighters, and survivors who helped with their recovery efforts following the World Trade Center attack. It also provides financial compensation for those who suffered injuries, illnesses, or death as a result.
We're calling on the administration that's coming in. We're calling on the senators and congresspeople that have made their promises to honor the honor what everyone has said to never forget.
And now, due to budget negotiations in Congress, it may not get the necessary funding.
We restored stability, we gave people hope, and we did the job very few were willing to do. Very few were even willing to come south to Canal Street, no less walk on a pile of debris that you knew was probably killing you with every step you took. And what are we asking in for return? Funding so we could live a little bit longer and a little bit healthier. Is that too much to ask?
Yes, apparently it is. Because Republicans don't give a shit about first responders or the fact that the Zadroga 9/11 Health and Compensation Act of 2010 was re-upped in 2015 and meant to last until 2090. Instead, 130,000 people currently signed on to receiving health care through this program are fucked because our South African American President Muskie decided spending money on the poor's isn't too good for America. And to think, these firefighters actually thought the leopards would not eat their face when they went to the ballot box. And it just goes to show, bonding on bigotry isn't going to save you when they're just using you for your vote anyway. A lesson that quite a few of the members of the Red Hat Brigade have been learning of late on social media, ever since the president of the South African Super Dork Society publicly defended immigration on the basis that all 77.2 million of the Phantom Fantas Fascist fan club are fucking stupid.
War has broken out in MAGA land between anti-immigrant diehards on one side and unelected policy influencers like Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy on the other.
The infighting broke out after Trump named an Indian American venture capitalist to be his advisor on artificial intelligence. That immediately triggered racially charged backlash from far-right activists like Laura Loomer, who said Krishnan's appointment and his vocal support for green cards for highly skilled workers was deeply disturbing and in direct opposition to Trump's agenda. Musk and Ramaswamy strongly disagreed and fired back with separate online posts that backed both Krishnan and foreign-born workers.
This immigration issue is core to that tech part of the audience. Meanwhile, the Steve Bannon wing, if you will, of MAGA, the ultra-MAGA wing, nativism and being anti-immigrant is core to them.
Folks, this one is hilarious. So basically, the immigration heads of the totally made-up Department of Government Efficiency revealed their plan all along to hire non-Americans in the tech sector by chatting up how great HB1 visas are for getting the smartest people on your team. And they did it on the disaster formerly known as Twitter. And for exposition purposes, the HB1 visa is what billionaire South African Americans like Phony Stark affectionately refer to as the answer to having an intelligent workforce in the United States, because Americans just too stupid to do the job. HB1s provide tech schmoes like Vivek Ramaswamy with people who were smartened up in countries other than the United States, because their standard of education produces smart people. Whereas the 40 plus years crusade to defund American public schools has resulted in the majority of the voting populace being easily fooled into reelecting a tiny-handed grifter just because he said stuff, like promising to lower groceries, but once elected, admitted he really can't do that. Or listening to the old yeller go on and on about having the biggest mass deportation the world's ever seen, but somehow thinking he's not going to come after the illegal immigrants that work on your farm. And then there's the New York Firefighters Union that I mentioned earlier, who can't afford to see a doctor about reattaching their faces after the leopards ate them because Payless Putin's Republicans conveniently left funding for their health care out of the last spending bill.
Oh, that's terrible.
You seem kind of psyched.
No, I'm bummed.
Oh, it's always after the fact with those MAGAites, isn't it? They're so easily confused. Take, for example, who is the next president? Sure, 77.2 million morons voted for the comb-over Caligula in the last election, but wasn't it the dark MAGAteer that spent $250 million to get Chito Benito back into the White House, who orchestrated the government shutdown mess right before Christmas? I mean, how could a South African-American tech bro who's in charge of a made-up government agency pull off that kind of skullfuckery, and he isn't the president? A question that many, many of us have been asking, regardless of whether or not we voted for Crimes the Clown last November. And it seems Von Schitz and Pants heard us when we were pondering this question over popcorn and a Google search. And
we will create the new Department of Government Efficiency headed by Elon Musk. And no, he's not taking the presidency. You know, they're on a new kick. Russia, 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 Ukraine, 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 all the different hoaxes. And the new one is President Trump has ceded the presidency to Elon Musk. No, no, that's not happening. He's not going to be president, that I can tell you. And I'm safe. You know why? He can't be. He wasn't born in this country.
That's a good one, but Grandpa Tangerine, who are you trying to convince here? You or us? Because whatever that word salad excuse for coherent sentences was, it's giving...
I am the king! I will punish you.
Any man who must say I am the king is no true king.
That's right, and an embarrassment enough. But I can't help but wonder if Voldemort's declaration of safety wasn't inspired by a convo he had in private with the guy who looks like if sweaty palms were a person. And if he did that talk go a little something like this?
Just so you know, this is my ship still. I'm in charge.
I know, of course you are. Of course.
See, you say, of course, but then you touch the map. It makes you think that maybe you didn't realize I was in charge.
But everybody knows who's in charge.
Me, right?
Yes, you. Of course.
Of course, Eric's dad is the president and not apartheid Clyde. We totally believe you. It's just that SpaceX Karen seems to be able to control the Republicans on Capitol Hill and censor maggots on his free-to-speech racistly website for pointing out that mass deportation doesn't mean replacing them with more immigrants. But hey, you do you. And speaking of doing whatever whiny bitch Joffrey would do to show everyone who's boss.
We're subsidizing Canada to the tune of over $100 billion a year. We're subsidizing Mexico for almost $300 billion. If we're going to subsidize them, let them become a state.
Has anyone ever heard of the Panama Canal? Huh? Because we're being ripped off at the Panama Canal like we're being ripped off everywhere else. It was given to Panama and to the people of Panama, but it has provisions. You got to treat us fairly, and they haven't treated us fairly. If the principles, both moral and legal, of this magnanimous gesture of giving are not followed, then we will demand that the Panama Canal be returned to the United States of America in full, quickly and without question.
As he posted on True Social, for purposes of national security and freedom through the world, the United States of America feels that the ownership and control of Greenland is an absolute necessity.
And in what only can be described as self-benefiting colonization, King Baby Coward has declared all the world is a Monopoly game, and he called dibs on the car. For starters, Mambo Mussolini has been calling the Prime Minister of Canada Governor Trudeau because Bully's gonna bully for the audience. But what his MAGA dumbasses don't know is Canada provides a fuckload of electricity and natural gas to America. And without it, Michigan, New York, and Wisconsin are going to be bigly pissed off while also being frozen solid because it's winter. And don't forget about Canada's rights to natural gas and oil reserves in the Arctic that plush-sized Putin would love to get his grubby little hands on.
Oh, no. No, no.
And then there's orange treasonous mentioning of taking Greenland yet again, like it's a Kmart special and not already spoken for. Am I right, Denmark? And this shit with Greenland, that's been going on since his first occupation of the White House. But what corporate news media fails to mention whenever they discuss Scooby Coo's bizarre desire to own Greenland is that in Greenland, they have a U.S. Air Force base located just 751 miles north of the Arctic Circle. That's only purpose is to detect ballistic missiles headed toward North America. Another fun toy Potato Chip Vlad would love to repurpose for Mother Russia. Am I wrong? And then there's Panama and the canal that's been losing water faster than Donny Kahn's declared bankruptcy due to climate change, making passage through the canal impossible for really big ships. Ships like ships that come from Russia. Because the bigger the ship, the more water you need to keep buoyant. So to keep everything copacetic, Panama decided to refuse really big ships passage, reduce the number of ships that can pass through the canal in general because of the whole lack of enough water problem, and raise their prices for passage because canals are affected by climate change and inflation. Who would have thunk it? But that's not what got Donnie's depends all in a bunch. Because he's got two hotel management companies that oversee hotels in Panama. And guess what? The fraud father is being sued for non-payment to the tune of tens of millions owed to the Panamanian government. And all of this started just before the candy orange tax evaders started bitching about their canal. So, what's the moral of Girth Vader's colonization strategy? If it doesn't benefit old drinks with two hands, he's doing it for Mother Russia. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me, Suzanne Posel, or the show This Week Again on social media platforms like Blue Sky, Threads, Insta, and Facebook. We are always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, basically wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Ta-da for now.